The 1-1, swinging a ball, popped back up on the backside. 1-2. One ball, two strikes, one out. Two runners on for Kalamazoo. Growler's threatening here on the top of the 10th. The 1-2, that's pulled back on the left side in foul territory. 1-2 again. Julian Tristan on the verge of getting his second strikeout and second out. Infield pushed in. The 1-2 down the plate for strike number 3. How about it? Ben Bach struck out looking. Julian Tristan back-to-back strikeouts and two down here for the Rafters. We return to the top of the order. Corbin Griffin is up. So Griffin, the left-hander on Julian Tristan out of Westcliff University. First pitch on the way, up and away. For ball number one. One ball, no strikes, two outs. Tristan comes set, serves the 1-0, and finds the left edge of the zone for a strike, 1-1. So how about it? Nobody out. There was two runners on, second and third, and now Julian Tristan two strikes away from getting the Rafters out of this inning. The 1-1, way outside, and finds a ball, 2-1. At second is Blanchard, at third is Krill. 2-2 game here in the top of the 10th. Two balls a strike. The 2-1. Swinging a ball popped back out on the left side. And 2-2. So Julian Tristan once again, one strike away here in the top of the 10th. 2-2. Two balls, two strikes. Two outs. The 2-2 from Tristan. Swing and a miss. Right down the plate. Right down Main Street for strike number 3. How about it? Julian Tristan, three straight strikeouts, and he's fired up after that one. What about it? Rafters still have this game tied at 2 apiece as we head to the bottom of the 10th here on WFHR.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy. You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with a link.
Okay.
Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Saddle up, buckaroos. It's time to start the cattle drive with Trail Tunes, the new cowboy, western, and south of the border show on Wiscountry 105.5 WIRI. Every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m., join me, Gene, Roy, Tex, and Rex with songs of lonesome cowboys, wicked rustlers, and sighing senoritas. From the sons of the pioneers to riders in the sky, Trail Tunes will have you wishing for those wide open spaces. Every Thursday from 7 to 8, only on Wiscountry 105.5.
Now, back to more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
So bottom of the 10th, we go as Chris Conniff steps in. Nolan Sailors is the runner at second as the infield has been wildly pushed in. As fans screaming balk, so Conniff will lead off, and the winning run stands for Nolan Sailors at second. So the infield has been shifted in. Furness way in, the first baseman, as Conniff shows bunt. and sees the ball as he pulls it back just in time. So 1-0 count. Furness shifted in at first. And that's about it for now. Everybody in their normal position as the 1-0 as a perfect bunt opportunity. Getting to third is Sailors. So getting out at first is Conniff. Sailors advances to third. Exactly what the Rafters had in store. So Brendan Bobo, is it his time to finally make an appearance here and get that all-deserving hit that he would have liked? So Cody Pijocki is going to have a word with his pitcher. So nobody warming up in the bullpen for Kalamazoo, and the infield coming on the mound as well. And also the left fielder of Kaysen Taggart has been running towards the infield because Pijocki called him in. So Brendan Bobo, 0 for 8 combined in these two games, has not gotten a hit yet. A guy that was a team MVP last season, batting a .298, led the team in home runs with 17. Looking to make his mark here in his second summer with the Rafters. He had 61 hits last season with 56 RBIs. So Pijocki has a meeting with his infield staff. He gets out. So now an opportunity here. So this is interesting. Kaysen Taggart is going to be shifted. The left fielder, Kaysen Taggart, is going to be put in on right field. It's going to be an intentional walk for Brendan Bobo. So Bobo gets intentionally walked at first, and this brings up Jack Gurevich. So now there are five infielders. Furness is at first. The third base, everybody's shifted in. Taggart is in there as well, as he's kind of playing a shortstop. So five infielders, two outfielders, as Gurevich sees a strike on the left edge. One down, Bobo is at first. So an intentional walk for Brendan Bobo, a guy that's been 0 for 8, but they know they've done their homework. They know he can get it any given time. The 0-1 as upstairs out for a ball, 1-1. One ball, one strike with one out. The 1-1 up and away, but finding the zone for a strike. One ball, two strikes, one out. Standing at third. The 1-2 swing and a miss for strike three. Gurevich just a little bit late. He's frustrated about that. So two outs as Garrett Broussard, the shortstop. And perhaps one out away for Kalamazoo. We would head top of the 11th. No balls, no strikes. Garrett Broussard. We'll step in. Coming set and serving his Birkenpaws as Bobo was going to steal second, but it didn't matter because that's foul tipped on the backside from Broussard. Can the Rafters get a hit? Can they get that most important hit of the game? No balls a strike with two outs. The serve from Birkenpaws. The 0-1 swung on and driven out to the center fielder of Banks Tolley, who makes an easy grab. So this game is at two apiece as we head to the top of the 11th inning here on WFHR.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Let's get back to the rafters here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
So we return on WFHR in the top of the 11th inning. It's a 2-1 count for Banks Tolley. So Tolley is up to bat. Griffin leads off at second. 2-1, Julian Tristan still on the mound as he finds out on the right edge, 3-1. 3-1 count. Go ahead, run on second. Julian Tristan, he had 3 straight strikeouts on his last time up on the mound as he throws ball number 4. So Tolley will take first. And at second is Griffin. Kaysen Taggart will step in out of Centralia College in Everett, Washington. So stepping in and bunting is Taggart. An excellent, perfectly executed bunt towards the left field as Tristan fires it over to first and gets him out. Excuse me, that was Miles Beal. That was not Taggart. Beal, out of Grand Rapids, Michigan, gets out at first. So now this will bring up Will Furness. The runners advance at second and third. One out. Will Furness, out of Ole Miss, the guy that hit 2 home runs yesterday. Infield shifted in. As that ball throws down low, 1-0. 1-0 count with one out. The 1-0 out and away for ball 2. 2 balls, 0 strikes, 1 out. Tolley at second, Griffin at third. As the intentional walk comes in. So Furness will stand over at first. And now Gabe Springer, the Stanford Cardinal, has the opportunity with the bases juiced here with one out. Has the opportunity to send a runner home and to take the lead here with one down. Tristan comes in and serves on the inside edge for a ball 1-0. So the Growlers and the Rafters playing to the late night. 2-2 ball game. As the 1-0 comes up and away for ball number 2. So Julian Tristan 2 balls away from sending Griffin home and giving the Growlers a lead. The 2-0 count swung on and a driven ball on the right field side for a strike in foul territory. 2-1. Gabe Springer out of Boulder, Colorado. And the third baseman. So Jack Gervich The first baseman stands at first, the 2-1, swinging a drive out on the right field line, 2-2. So Tristan has evened up the count at two apiece with one down. The 2-2 serve, swing and a miss for strike number three. Excellent play there for Julian Tristan. And what a throw. So two down. Can Tristan get him out of a jam once again? Now this brings up the DH, Kevin Krill. So the bases are loaded. Furness at first, Tolley at second. And the right fielder, Corbin Griffin, stands at third. One ball, no strikes. Two outs. Top of the 11th. The 1-0 way on the inside edge. And that hits the runner as he looks like he's going back towards the base. And the umpire calls him back. So boos around. He looks like he was hit on the right ankle. Cody Pijocki comes out under and says, look, I think he was hit. Oh, the right ankle. And, well, the head umpire is having a word with the first base umpire, saying, hey, what happened here? Because from my point of view, it didn't look like he was hit on the right foot. But Kevin Krill was very quick to take first. So he calls, umpire's having a meeting on the infield, and they call Krill back towards the back. So 2-0, though. Two balls, no strikes, and two outs. 2-0 count. Tristan will come set and serve the 2-0. Inside once again for ball number three. So if Julian Tristan throws another ball, Griffin will get home and will give the Growlers a lead here with two down. 3-0 count. Tristan serves inside and finds the zone for a strike. Three balls, one strike. Two down, the 3-1. Swinging a ground ball on the left field side for a foul territory. So 3-2 now. Full count, two outs, bases juiced, top 11. Julian Tristan has the opportunity to get the Raptors out of a jam once again. On a night when it's been only about home runs, the 3-2 way outside for ball number four. And unfortunately, that sends Griffin home. The Growlers take a 3-2 lead here, top 11. So Colin Blanchard is due up. Growlers 3, Raptors 2, top of the 11th. Bases juice once again. And if you're the Raptors, you can only allow one run. As Tristan throws on the outside edge and finds the zone for a strike, going one. No balls, one strike. The 0-1. Swing and a miss outside for strike two. So Raptors have allowed one run, trying to limit what would yet be another run. So no balls, two strikes, two outs. The 0-2 from Tristan inside, and that hits the right elbow of Blanchard. Getting home is Tolley, and the Growlers lead 4-2 now. Top of the 11th. So Julian Tristan, not what he anticipated, as Savi Delgado out of Barry University will step in. No balls, no strikes, two outs, and the Raptors have dug themselves a hole, giving up two runs here in the top of the 11th. The bases are still loaded. Setting and serving is Tristan inside for a ball, 1-0. Growlers up 4-2. Swing. swing and a drive into right field, heading back towards the wall. Brandon Rogers is there to make the grab. So the Growlers lead 4-2 to the Rafters. Have two runs in him. Find out next here as we head to the bottom of the 11th on WFHR.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in 1,000 pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
So bottom of the 11th we go, and the Rafters trail 4-2. So Garrett Broussard will be leading off at second. The tying run, Ty Johnson is up at the plate. Johnson 2-for-3 with a run today, hit by pitch. Excuse me, was not hit by pitch, as he was 2-for-3 today with a hit as first pitch from Birkenpaus. 1-0. So 1-0, as the 1-0 swing and a drive into right field, heading back towards the wall. This is just out on the right field side. That pulls just right of the right field line. So 1-1, 1-1. So Ty Johnson had the opportunity there. Gosh, that was nearly there. That was literally 7-8 feet left. This game would be tied up at 4. So 1-1. Ty Johnson, man, oh man, had the opportunity. Just a little bit left. Looked decent, but was just pulled. Certainly had the distance. So 1-1 count now. Ty Johnson will stand in. Birkenpaus serves the 1-1. Swing and a ground ball that stays fair on the first base line. And stepping out is Furness. He'll get one down, so that advances Broussard to third. And now Jorge Degatti making his first appearance of the night. The Indiana product batting a .364, 4 hits and 2 RBIs with 3 runs. So Degatti, tying run at the plate, 1 down. So Broussard advances to third. And now Degatti's up to pinch hit. Brandon Rogers is due up next, so Degatti pinch hitting for Sheeler. 1 out. Birkenpaus will come set. In a game which, this is all about home runs. Ty Johnson was nearly there as Birkenpaus throws a ball down low and away. 1-0. The 1-0. Swing and a miss on a curveball. 1-1. Birkin pass. Birkin pass. The 1-1. Swing and a miss again on a breaking ball. 1-2. So Jorge Degatti sees the same pitch and swings and misses twice. 1-2 with one out. The 1-2 swung and popped back out on the right side. So standing at third is Broussard. And Jorge Degatti has had a great start to his summer in Wisconsin Rapids. Sees the 1-2, swing and a miss outside for strike number three and out number two. Now the Growlers one win away from coming in and sweeping the series against Wisconsin Rapids. Brandon Rogers is going to hopefully have something to say about that. So Rogers has had an unbelievable game. He's been responsible for two runs for the Rafters. He hit a two-run shot to left center. So Birkin pass will come set and serve as Rogers swings and misses. So now the Growlers two strikes away. They lead 4-2. Broussard stands at third. Brandon Rogers out of Iowa Western Community College. Mount Carmel High School in the Chicago area. The 0-1. A slider from Birkin Paws. 1-1. Sets and serves the 1-1 and swung and driven out on the left field side. That goes out of play in foul territory. Out of play in foul territory. 1-2 with two outs. Birkin pass. Sets in. Delivers the 1-2. Swinging a ground ball over to the shortstop. Gavin Lewis not able to field it. That gets home and Broussard. So now it's 4-3 now with two outs. Lewis not able to field it at third. Rogers gets to first. And now Levi Jensen, the catcher, is due up. 4-3 now. Tying run at first. Levi Jensen, the winning run at the plate. Birkin pass comes set. Serves, and Jensen, a shallow tips one over to Birkin pass, throws it at first, and that will do it. The Growlers take a 4-3 victory in 11 innings as they sweep the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters on a night where the Rafters just were not able to find ways to take the victory. It was a game where the Growlers were off in the front foot, and then the Rafters came from behind. They had a two-run shot from Brandon Rogers. So it started off in the game where the Growlers had two runs, top of the third, back-to-back home runs. Delgado hit one, and then Griffin hit one. And then the bottom of the fifth, a two-run shot from Brandon Rogers. But the Rafters not able to take down the Growlers. Growlers two runs in the top of the 11th as they win 4-2. Rafters out-hit the Growlers once again 7-4. But it does not matter. Growlers come in and sweep Wisconsin Rapids. So the Rafters are going to have to shake this off. They have a home game tomorrow against the Lakeshore Chinooks, an interdivision game starting at 6:35. But for all of Wisconsin Rapids, for the players and staff and coaches, for everybody at WFHR, my name is Joey Fier saying so long from Winterfield. Good night, everybody.
You have been listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tease at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
If you talk, they will hear you.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how. And we tell them with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. So talk, they hear you.
You can do it if you try. Hi, I'm E.J. Williams. Each year, millions of animals are abandoned, and more than a million are euthanized before they can be rescued. Organizations like American Humane are working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, as animals can be trained as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help veterans, the elderly, and children with special needs to overcome the obstacles of everyday life. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Can I touch this? Where does sand come from? Is this tree good for climbing? What happens if I mix these two things together? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Storing your gun securely is the best way to prevent family fire, including unintentional shootings. For more information on safe gun storage and ways to keep your family safe, visit endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org.
What do we keep in the attic? What's this thing called? Can I ride my bike backwards?
Like I said, kids are curious. It's up to us to keep them safe. Brought to you by End Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Here's your forecast from Locally Grown Radio, WFHR. Lows level off around 53. Tonight, under mainly clear skies, south winds around 5 miles per hour. Highs around 81. Tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. Mainly clear. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 57. Low 80s, Sunday, with a chance for scattered storms. Mid 80s, mainly sunny, Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 71.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Walk out from their jobs. They were protesting the rank greed, gross mismanagement, and abandonment of democratic duty by the owner of their papers. That owner is Gannett, a massive financial conglomerate that has grabbed control of more than 200 dailies in 43 states. This is a huge, multidimensional news story about news itself. But where was the coverage? Big story number one. Unbeknownst to most people in these communities, they no longer have a local daily paper. Control over everything from news content to price now belongs to bean-counting strangers at Gannett headquarters hundreds of miles away. Big story number two. More fundamentally, control has moved from journalists to bankers. Gannett is owned by SoftBank, a Japanese hedge fund that has rapaciously looted American newsrooms to grab extravagant fees, salaries, and profits for its rich financial hucksters. Big story number three. The workaday hometown reporters, photographers, and others who actually produced Gannett's papers are making a gutsy stand against the profiteer, not just for themselves, but for the essential ideals of journalistic integrity and grassroots democracy. Biggest story of all. Gannett's 200 papers cravenly joined in a concerted blanket cover-up of this story, stiffing the public they're supposed to serve and disrespecting the ethical stand of their own employees. Even Gannett's flagship paper, USA Today, which regularly reports on other labor actions, took a dive on covering the journalistic malfeasance of its own overseer. This is Jim Hightower saying, to fight hedge fund corporatization of journalism, go to newsguild.org.
Well,
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So yesterday, workers at the Amazon delivery service partner, Battle-Tested Strategies, walked out on strike in Palmdale, California. Now, remember, we talked about this. It's got to be a couple of months now. Where these workers organized and they were saying, look, the first delivery drivers for Amazon to unionize, to help fight for better wages, hours, conditions. And I said, this is historic. This is great. Now, I understand, Amazon's trying to get rid of them because, well, they're, you know, Walmart got away with it. That's why I've asked one of the drivers to come talk with us. Jesse Moreno is an Amazon driver. He's one of the Battle-Tested Strategy drivers. He is a member of the Teamsters. Jesse, thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Rick. Glad to be here.
So walk me through this strike yesterday. What brought it on?
Well, yesterday we went on an unfair labor practice strike. We got this heat coming up and, you know, we have terrible vans, terrible routes. We just wanted to make it clear to Amazon that we're tired of it and we need to make these changes and we need better working conditions. So we got our guys organized and, you know, we walked out on them. We were able to shut down the warehouse.
Now, this air conditioning issue seems to be the bane of this hour of the program, because the reality is, as climate change, as you're in areas that have excessive heat, workers are susceptible to heat. How do employers not understand that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge issue. I mean, we get put in these vans out here in the Antelope Valley, Palmdale, Lancaster area. Heat reaches, you know, up to 120. It gets really, really hot. And then they expect us to deliver, you know, 300 plus packages in 8 hours in vans with no air conditioning. We step into the back of our vans, it's, another 20 degrees hotter back there. It's actually like stepping into an oven, and it's dangerous. We gotta pull over and step out into this heat to combat, you know, the heat that we have inside our vehicles, which goes, and it says a lot.
How many packages in 8 hours?
They expect us to deliver between 250 to 350 packages. And it gets even crazier during prime week, during the holidays. And, you know, we're expected to get these done in a timely manner. If we don't get it done, there's a time limit that's set by Amazon. And they reach out to our dispatch team, who reaches out to us and asks why we're behind. They need to get a clear answer as to why we're, you know, five packages behind 5 hours into our shift. And that's something that is straight brought down by Amazon.
That, I mean, just the sheer number. I mean, stop and think of how many stops that is per hour. And look, even if you're just, you know, walking door to door carrying packages, that's humping.
Yeah. It's pretty hard on our guys. Amazon recently changed their operations to being able to get more stops out of us. So now what they started doing is grouping stops. So say you go down one neighborhood and you drive down one street, you have, let's say, four deliveries on that one street. So you're stopping at four different houses. Amazon will make that one stop.
Wow.
When realistically we're driving or stopping at four different houses. But to them, that's just one stop.
And this is where, you know, you see these videos. I got to imagine that you then run into a lot of problems with the general public. I've seen some of these videos where people are yelling at Amazon drivers because they're just stopped in the middle of the road because they got to go run and deliver this package. And they're yelling at this poor guy. And he's like, look, I'm just trying to make a delivery. We should be yelling at Amazon.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely. They're the ones who dictate our routes, what we have to do, how fast we're supposed to do them. And, you know, if we don't, then, you know, Amazon gets on us and it falls down on our shoulders to make sure that we're pushing through this heat, these dangerous routes. You know, we're instructed to take these packages to the front doors of our customers, meaning we have to enter their yards where they have, you know, aggressive dogs. I've been chased myself twice already without the knowledge of a dog being in the yard until I get to the front door and then I hear the barking and I have to, you know, hightail it out of there, jump over the fence just to be able to make it back to my vehicle. And it's stuff like that where we can't reject these stops. If we leave the packages at the gate, we get in trouble for it.
And now you add this kind of conditioning with wages that I hear are subpar. with benefits that are almost, you know, not the greatest. And no wonder there's an appetite for workers to organize. There's no wonder that you guys have joined the union. Do you find that, you know, as you're explaining your story to people, that there are other Amazon drivers going, hey, yeah, us too?
Little by little, we've heard other DSP drivers that, you know, want in on the action and want to be a part of the fight, but they're scared because they don't have the numbers that luckily we did. You know, we got a petition going, I think last year. One of our coworkers was actually trying to get a petition going to get these vans fixed. And luckily we had, you know, we had good amount of numbers, but it just wasn't able to make a difference. And with us, you know, going on strike, having our petitions, we're making waves, and we're hearing from, you know, other states, other DSPs, that we have other Amazon drivers that are ready to join the fight. And, you know, we just got to make sure that we could support everyone nationwide. And that's what we want to do. We're ready to, you know, blow this thing up. We need Amazon to come to the table, and we need Amazon to listen to what we want. And what we're asking for is extremely fair. Yeah. We want what our brothers and sisters at UPS have.
And look, they want you to have it too. I mean, at the end of the day, this is the idea of, and I go back to, you know, when I started, you know, in the freight industry, 85% of the LTL market was unionized when I started. Everyone had the same, you know, basic wage structure, the same health insurance, the same retirement security, and you competed on service, you competed on quality, you competed on the positive things, not on who was willing to slit each other's throats for pennies. So when I see the kind of competitions that's been set up between UPS Teamsters and you guys, it's almost unfair in the way it's been allowed to be set up, which is why I'm glad to see that you guys are organizing and getting what you guys earn. I mean, I'll tell you, 300 stops in an 8-hour shift, I don't know how you pull it off.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I mean, we get put into some pretty dangerous areas as well. And, you know, we're still expected to meet Amazon standards. A lot of us, we push through our 15-minute breaks. Some of us, like myself, who have different zip codes, I'll drive through my 30-minute break just to make sure that I could, you know, get all my packages done and not get reprimanded by Amazon.
That's
or
right.
feel you know, slightly disrespected when I return at the end of the day with, you know, 3-4 packages, and they keep asking me why are they being returned. Like, makes me feel like I can't do my job.
Nice.
When they don't know, you know, being out on this road, what we do, what we go through to make sure that, you know, we get these packages delivered to our customer.
You listen to the Rick Smith Show here with Jesse Moreno. He's an Amazon driver, Teamster member. I got to get this out. IBT.io/AD Solidarity Fund. We'll get links out on social media how you can help contribute. The idea is, look, you know, these folks need a little help. Make a donation to this to help other Amazon drivers get this information. Because, look, I think at the end of the day, Jesse, this is a grassroots movement of working people who have been, you know, I think abused for far too long, coming out of the pandemic where you were told, I'm sure, you were heroes. And we've heard this rhetoric before. I think the moment is now, the appetite is now for what you guys have done. And you've shown that there's a pathway forward. I mean, you know, this past April, you guys organized and won an election and sat down and did some bargaining. This is showing that it's possible, right?
Yes, extremely possible. I mean, we were all excited. You know, we all I think we were at like 90-something% with all of our members that, you know, wanted to unionize. You know, we got the vote to our contract. We got this ball rolling pretty quick because, you know, what we demand and what we need, we know is extremely fair. So it's time for Amazon to, you know, come to the table and, you know, listen to us. And, you know, that's going to be the biggest struggle, it seems. So, you know, we got to go on strike. We got to do what we can to make Amazon, you know, pay attention. We're not going to go away. It's not going to be, you know, an easy just get rid of us and that's it. You know, the headache is gone. No, we're going to continue to fight. And anything that, you know, the listeners can contribute and help with, you know, is it means a lot to me, our team, because we need to keep pushing. We need to keep fighting. And my guys, you know, we're not going to be scared that much longer, because seeing the support that we have nationwide is awesome. And, you know, anything that anybody could help means a lot to us. It's going to help continue this fight.
So what do you say to other Amazon drivers? I mean, we've got radio audiences all over this country. Many of them with I've got Amazon facilities, you know, just down the road from where I live. What's the outreach to them? What's the message to those folks right now listening going, man, I'd love to have better wages. I'd love to get, you know, air conditioning in my vehicle. I'd love to get better conditions. What's the message to them?
Yeah, message to everybody, you know, all the Amazon drivers is, you know, we started this fight, you know, DAX 8 out here, BTS and Palmdale, but we're spreading it nationwide. Reach out to, you know, your locals, your Teamsters, you know, reach out to them, let them know that you guys are ready. You guys are tired of it. You know, we're ready to, you know, go nationwide. If you guys have any questions, you guys need anything, please reach out. It's scary. You know, it's a $1 billion company, but the support that we have and that we've seen out here in Palmdale is extreme. And it's gonna spread nationwide. Do not be scared. Reach out to your locals. Reach out to the Teamsters. Get as much information as you need, and you know, start organizing your guys underground. Reach out, because we're gonna bring this to Amazon.
So last line of questioning I've got for you, because you know a lot of these DSPs are set up as third party logistic firms where they can be set aside. And I understand there's a threat. That Amazon's trying to retaliate against you guys and set aside this battle-tested strategies company. What do you say to people on that front? I mean, I'm going to lose my situation, and you know, as bad as it is here, as horrible as it is, at least I've got this. What do you say to folks?
Well, Amazon has spread a narrative out there that you know we were underperforming and that we were already going to lose our contract, which is completely untrue. Our score was up there. We had a great score. I think it was in like the 90%. So that false narrative that they're spreading is just to obviously make them look better, that they were already cutting ties with BTS when I think we are one of the top performing DSPs at our location. You know, they're just trying to play in their scare tactics. They're doing what they need to, you know, make it sound like what we were doing, you know, is not right. And they're already pushing us out the door, which we don't think is true.
A lot of work to do. Jesse Moreno, I appreciate you taking time for us. Good on you for the work that you're doing. I hope you'll come back and talk to us again real soon.
Yeah. Whenever you guys want me, I'll be there for sure.
Good stuff. Thanks so much, Jesse. Appreciate the time. No, this is one of those things, folks. At the end of the day, helping workers make their conditions better for them and for everyone else. And I hope folks will check out the website, ibt.io/AD Solidarity Fund. We'll get links out on social media because you're probably never going to remember that. But I highly suggest if you got a couple of bucks, help them out. Going to take a quick break. Right back with your thoughts. Stick around. Listen to the Rick Smith Show. The Working People. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, Pinkerton detectives arrived at job sites across the U.S. to escort workers off the premises. No, it was not a railroad or a coal mine in labor's distant past. It was at the offices of what was once the largest computer seller in the United States. And the year was 2000. Inicom was filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. The computer giant had been built on buying computers in large quantities and reselling them. But increasingly, computer manufacturers such as Dell began to sell directly to customers. They eliminated the middleman. Unable to adapt, Inicom's finances were a wreck. They brought in the Pinkertons to usher away employees and change the locks on the office doors. The Pinkertons arrived at the Atlanta office at 2:30. They showed up in Jacksonville at 4. Another former employee recalled his experience, saying, on June 16th, they came into the Buffalo office around 5 with Pinkerton security and a locksmith and said, basically, you've got 5 minutes to grab your personal belongings and leave the building. The bewildered employees were given few answers. The Pinkertons posted signs with an 800 number on the doors they had just locked. Then, at 4:26 p.m., more than 5,000 employees were sent an email from the company asking them to call that same number. When they did, a recorded message began to explain the events of the day. The employees learned that they would not receive their final paychecks, and they had all been fired. But the news got worse. The message went on, "We advise you begin exploring alternatives for medical and disability insurance." The message also said, "Intercom apologizes for the sudden disruption and expresses its appreciation for your dedicated service." Employees were left to scramble for new jobs and insurance without any warning whatsoever. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, ricksmithshow.com. I want to start off by thanking everyone this week for putting up with my COVID brain. Yeah, it's been a rough week. I got to be honest with you. Got COVID a week ago. It's just a week ago. I'm still technically in quarantine, but it has been a brutal week. First time I got it. And fortunately, as I said earlier in the week, fortunately the vaccine, I think, helped. And, you know, I've worked through it, but wow, the fog, been a rough week. So I want to thank everyone. And for everyone who sent me ill wishes, too bad. Didn't happen. Not this time. Better luck if it happens down the future. Now here's the thing. You know, I look at what's going on with the Teamsters and Amazon, the Teamsters and UPS. This is an opportunity for this union to really take this industry. And look, I've talked before. I came from the LTL industry, less than truckload industry, where when I started, it was 85% unionized, which meant the wages, hours, conditions were pretty much standardized across the industry. So the competition was based on, you know, service quality, you know, productivity, you know, those kind of the positive things, the things that you want to compete on, not who's willing to starve their children. And yet, you know, as the years have gone, thank you, Jimmy Carter signing trucking deregulation and Ronald Reagan, you know, slamming on the gas and really the shot heard across the boardroom. We're now seeing in the LTL industry like 10%. And wages, conditions, situations, a lot different. And, you know, I talk to people all the time who say things, you know, things are getting worse. Or be forced to cut corners, forced to do all kinds of things that would have never happened years ago. And now you've got all of these pressures from the federal government with ELDs and all kinds of, you know, shoulder, you know, eyes over your shoulder. Again, putting the onus and responsibility and all of the pressure and the burdens on the individual. And this is why I think the organizing that's happening at Amazon is so very important. Because, you know, Amazon has a system. They already got it in place where if you, hey, just want to take your car and go deliver five packages, they'll throw you five packages to drive to deliver on your way home. Because now everyone's going to be a gig employee and they're going to make their profit off of you thinking, hey, you know, I'm just dropping stuff on the way home. It's not a big deal. Not the wear and tear on your vehicle, not the extra time that you're spending doing it. Hey, it's just a couple extra bucks. And what we're doing is destroying the standard of living of working people. And they understand. They know what they're doing. Look, the smart people who think tank this stuff, the smart people who game this stuff out, who come up with these schemes to destroy good wages for working people, they game this stuff out. They know what they're doing. For instance, when Amazon says we don't hire delivery drivers, we hire a company who hires those. So they got, you know, plausible deniability for any of the horrible things that happen while they're feeding them all of the mandates and all of the terms of service and where you got to go, when you got to go, how you got to go, your attire, all this stuff. Because our laws are so badly screwed up. Now, like I talked about earlier, they want to do away with labor laws. I keep saying we need to strengthen them. We need to update them. Yeah. You know, 1938 was a long time ago with the Fair Labor Standards Act. Absolutely. We need a major refresh. Because none of the schemes and gimmicks that they're hawking right now are new. None of this stuff's new. It's just got, you know, different lipstick on this pig. But you know what it is all about? It's about more for them and less for us. It's about more for the handful and less for working people. Because understand, and this is the reality of it. Understand, if it were good for you, they would never allow you to do it. If it were good for workers, they wouldn't allow it. You know, my grandfather always said, if a rich guy's going to take a buck out of his pocket to tell you you don't need something, you better spend two to get it. We're in that moment. We're in the moment of, it's time to spend $2. It's time to spend to get what we need. And if that's politics, if that's organizing in the workplace, if that's organizing in our community, it's what has to happen. And look, there are people who are, they're going to try and tear apart. And you let them go. Those are the fives. Okay, you know, good luck, buddy. You're always going to have people who are going to scab on a job. But the rest of the working class, the rest of us, at some point, got to push back. Because remember, if you will, walk with me, if you will, back to the good old days of, you know, 2020, 2021, maybe a little bit into 2022, when people were heroes and they were essential, and we were thanking fast food workers for going to work so that, you know, cops and firefighters could have something to eat. We were thanking nurses, effusive with praise of our healthcare professionals and the heroic work that they did, only now to turn around and claw most of that back and treat them like garbage now. I'm glad that there's a union out there right now saying, you know what? We remember, and we demand that we be treated as such. You can't on one day say I'm a hero and the next day I'm a piece of you know what. And I hope I'm in this hopeful moment. I'm in this hopeful moment that we're going to remember, that people are going to remember what it was like during the pandemic and all of the platitudes that were thrown at us. No raises, of course. This is the amazing part to me. No raises. But we got, they said nice things for a short period of time. Now, how about we demand better? How about we ensure that the future is brighter? Because I'll tell you, you know, the more, you know, the Amazon drivers I talk to, even UPS drivers, the conditions are deplorable. The fact that UPS drivers don't have air conditioning in their truck, that they're constantly monitored. And look, UPS drivers do a great job. They're one of the most beloved working people in this country. Everyone loves the brown guy. But if you knew what they go through, this is one of those moments where wake up. One of those moments where, you know, maybe there's going to be a strike. I hope not, but sometimes there has to be. You know, I think back to, I remember an old timer years ago when I was just a kid, first started out. He said, you know, every 10 years, we went on strike. Every 10 years, you got to, even if it's for just a day, so that people know they fought for something, that they won something, that they take ownership of something. And the sad reality is, for the last couple of decades, we haven't had that. We haven't had that fight. And, you know, maybe this is the future. Because his logic was, if you fought for something, if you won something, you wouldn't give it back. You wouldn't be so easy to trade it for something else. That you won something, that you made something better. And look, that's not just in the workplace. That's in society. That's in anything we'll do. And can you look around and say that?
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
hey, you got this. Just breathe. Hey.
Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.